from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
People use Travis Kelce. That's not fair to anyone. Travis Kelce is the greatest receiving tight end in NFL history. That's not fair. But if you look at some other very good offenses, like the year Lamar Jackson won the MVP with Mark Andrews as his number one target, all those years with Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates, there can be elite play from an offense with a tight end as your number one target, and then a cadre, a mix of receivers after the fact. That's very much what we're building here.
Greg Thompson, Cover One. I'm with Zach and Josh on what a Bills offense could look like with a tight end at the helm, which here has never happened. I mean, the Bills' history
literally
of tight
never.
End is... Like, Kincaid is going to smash every record that a Bills tight end's ever had. Again, bar's not very high. Pete Metzler is going to have all of those records, I believe, from the early 90s. I don't think Dawson Knox got there on touchdowns, at least not yet. He's still on the team. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a question or comment on the Bills. We'll talk some fantasy a little bit later in the hour as well here on a Fantasy Friday. First, though, let's go to the Wester Hotline and bring in Sam Motson from Pro Football Focus, one of our favorite visits here on the station. Morning, Sam. Thanks for getting up with us on this Friday.
Yeah, any problem. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty well. We're less than 2 weeks away from training camp. And is there, kind of open-ended, like, is there a storyline or team you are most interested in once camp begins? Like, what's the thing your eyes are going to go to first when training camp's open?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of them. Obviously, this dynamic with the Buffalo offense, I think, is one of the most fascinating stories. What they're going to do. Are they going to feed the entire offense through those tight end positions? Are they going to just work the middle of the field in the slot a ton? Or are they going to try and get, you know, legitimate outside number one X receiver production out of somebody like Keon Coleman? I do think that's a really interesting storyline. Another one I think that jumps to the top of mind is that situation in Pittsburgh with the two quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. First of all, how Russell Wilson is going to fit in this Arthur Smith offense, I think that has an incredibly broad range of outcomes. It could be the perfect system for him to bounce back and get somewhere near his best play again, or it could be a total disaster because it likes working in the middle of the field, and Wilson has never done that to a particularly high level, even when he was playing, you know, incredibly good football. And then obviously you have Justin Fields sort of sitting there waiting in the wings to come in if you need to.
Oh, you still got you, Sam?
Yep, still there.
Okay. One team, actually, that I was interested in asking you about. We'll get to the Bills, of course, here. Sam, you can follow him on Twitter, by the way. Check out his content, at @PFF_Sam. We had a Colts guest on yesterday, and we're talking about Richardson and how that the season ended there, and I'd forgotten that came right down to the wire, right? Like, there was a 4th-and-1 play to a backup running back that the Colts season basically ends on, where Houston maybe doesn't make the playoffs, and I wonder where we're at, even if that changes course. And Indy did that without Anthony Richardson the whole season at quarterback. But, like, for you, part of this will be what you thought of him coming into the draft. Did we see nearly enough of Richardson last year to even have a guess at what he might look like this year for the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a lot from him last year in just a few games. The problem with him is, overall, we're just dealing with this incredibly small sample size of him as a quarterback. Like, even coming into the draft, his experience was extremely limited as a quarterback in college, and it was all projection to what he can be at the next level based off this incredible athleticism, size, strength, speed, all these things. And then we saw a few games, flashes of that as a rookie. The biggest sort of concern or the biggest thing hanging over all this is in 4 games, he was injured multiple times and ended up getting shut down for the season. So you have this guy who's literally the most athletic quarterback to ever enter the NFL if you start factoring in size and all that kind of thing. Like, he's more athletic than Cam Newton based off those kinds of measures and RAS, relative athletic score, and all that kind of stuff. But in 4 games, that guy was shut down, was knocked out of the game twice, injured at least 3 times, and ultimately shut down for his entire season after 4 games. If that's who he's going to be, then everything you were trying to do with him last year is almost off the table immediately. Like, you can't expose your quarterback to that kind of volume or that kind of serious level of contact and hits, or he's never going to be there. And that was always the concern, you know, dating back years ago of these sort of athletic quarterbacks and guys that like to run. NFL was terrified of those guys for years because of this, because if those guys get hit and he gets knocked down, now you're into the backup and the season's done. Now, it turned out it wasn't done for Indianapolis, but like, that's the fear was realized immediately for the Colts. So now they're looking at this quarterback and they have to decide this offseason, did they just get incredibly unlucky for 4 weeks, or do they need to fundamentally change how they were planning on approaching Anthony Richardson within this offense, because that potentially changes, number one, his sort of growth curve and how fast you need him to be good as a pocket passer, and number two, what his ceiling might be, period, because if he can't do any of that stuff or you have to really scale it back, he might be a different player. It's like taking Josh Allen and saying, all right, now you can't run anymore. Like, it's off the table. It takes away a part of what makes Josh Allen special.
Yeah. And Sam, like, I think in the same conversation about quarterback play and sort of like maybe what we didn't get to see in Anthony Richardson, I want to compare it to what we did get to see with C.J. Stroud, quarterback in the same division, taking number 2 overall last year, and a player that, I mean, all statistics, if you want to look at them, just the raw stats, I mean, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, completed 64% of his passes in his first year, with a banged up, you know, group of receivers towards the end of the year is basically just Nico Collins after Tank Dell goes down. They obviously probably make the move of the offseason in trading for Stephon Diggs to add to that group. They re-sign Dalton Schultz. They go out and they go get Joe Mixon as well. And they've sort of created the roster that most teams try to create when you've got a rookie quarterback on that rookie deal, right? I'm wondering, you know, where your head goes, because I think, you know, we do, like, you know, our weekly power rankings in the AFC here every week on the afternoon show, and it feels like almost a universal truth at this point that it's gone past opinion. It's just that Houston has surpassed a lot of these other teams in the AFC, and maybe they're right there with Kansas City and maybe even Baltimore. Is that where you sit after the offseason they had? And that doesn't even count Danielle Hunter on the other side of the football as well. Where do you sit with this team, with the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud going into year 2?
Yeah, it's jarring when a team sort of changes what everybody thought of them so quickly. Like, Houston was supposed to be bad last year. People were expecting them to have the number 1 and the number 2 overall pick before the season based off their own draft pick and Arizona's. Now, they ended up with one pick that was pretty good, but the other one was way down the draft because they made the playoffs. Like, this was supposed to be a terrible football team, and because of C.J. Stroud, because of Nico Collins breaking out, because of Tank Dell being so good right off the bat, and, you know, Bobby Slowick bringing in that San Francisco offense, and, you know, everything that went well, they were so much better than people were expecting them to be, and they are buying into the hype this offseason. I mean, forget everybody else. You only make a move like Stephon Diggs or like Joe Mixon if you think you're winning now. And to kind of reinforce that, they reworked Diggs' deal and made it literally a one-year rental.
Yeah,
this is not
crazy.
You know, we're not debating that anymore. Oh, how long is he going to be there? That might only be a year rental. It is a year rental now. They sort of codified that with the reworked contract. So they are making moves like they expect to win and challenge and rival Kansas City this year. And there's definitely a world where it could be possible. I mean, Stroud was phenomenal as a rookie. That group of receivers looks as good as anything in the NFL. Joe Mixon provides, I think, some of the heft in the backfield that they didn't have last year, and Slowick definitely wanted at times last season. Dalton Schultz is a really good player. The offensive line, I think, does look like a relative weakness, but I'm starting to kind of accept that any offensive line in this Shanahan offense just doesn't matter as much as you think it should. All of them have weaknesses on paper, and it rarely matters. I mean, Miami's offensive line on paper is pretty bad, and it doesn't seem to make any difference. Houston's offensive line on paper, outside of Laremy Tunsil, is not particularly good, and it didn't make much of a difference last year. So I think their biggest weakness might not be the issue that it looks like it should be, at which point, they can absolutely make noise as long as Stroud doesn't, you know, have a sophomore slump or take a step back, which it's always possible. You know, we like to think of these quarterbacks and development generally as this nice, neat, linear curve, but it doesn't always go that way.
Yeah. I liked Sam Monson, by the way, on the West Her Hotline from Pro Football Focus. I liked hearing you, too, a few minutes ago on Richardson running and, like, the Colts' plans for that and how the injuries, you know, will affect that as well. The Bills, at the beginning of last year, they certainly talked this way, and for the most part, they acted this way, that they wanted to dial back Allen running. Design runs, I mean, I remember the Tampa game midway through the year. We got like three of them on the first drive, and everyone's like, wow, we haven't seen that in a while. They kind of had to, right? Like, it felt like they were kind of boxed in. The offense was so constipated that, okay, we want to keep him healthy. We don't want to put all these carries on him, but the way their offense felt like it was going, maybe they thought they needed to. Do you feel like they need to again? That, like, we're not hearing the same type of talk from the Bills this offseason about dialing back his rushing. 15 touchdowns last year, and only, I think, five of them were QB sneaks. We got 10 from outside the one. Do you feel like there is, of course, an inevitability that eventually that rushing for him will get dialed back, but with the way the offense is currently constructed, that now would not be the time to do that?
Yeah, it's funny. The Bills are kind of dealing with the same question with the Anthony Richardson thing we talked about before, except with only on a theoretical basis. Like, it hasn't had the sort of dire consequences that it had for the Colts last season, where four games in, they saw exactly how bad that can go if you get unlucky and their quarterback gets injured multiple times and he's gone. The Bills, I mean, Josh Allen, you know, knock on wood, the guy seems indestructible. He just doesn't get hurt. He doesn't suffer too much from these additional contact that he takes that other quarterbacks don't. But they seem to sort of be looking at this big picture and long term and in a sort of overall holistic way and understanding smartly that, look, at some point it's going to affect his durability. And maybe it's not going to be in season any one year. Maybe it's just going to be how long he can play at this level. And if he wants to have, you know, a 15-year career, at some point we're going to need to play with the balance of this. And it's a really difficult question, I think, when you have a quarterback that is stylistically like Josh Allen, where the stuff that makes him special is inevitably, it's more risky, right? It's going to give him more hits, more contact than, let's say, a quarterback like Tom Brady, right, who just stood in the pocket and his special skill was to not take any contact, or Peyton Manning, right? you just didn't hit Peyton Manning. That was part of why he lasted as long as he did and why he was good, because he just got rid of the ball as soon as a large guy started barreling towards him. And that's its own trait. But that type of skill, the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady skill, obviously lends itself to just lasting longer because you're not going to get hit as much. The Josh Allen thing, I think, makes you potentially even more difficult to stop as an individual kind of offensive weapon. Like, now, no matter what you do, you can be wrong because Josh Allen is just that freaky, right? You can have the perfect defense called, and he can run over a defensive back, run around a defensive lineman, run right over the top of a linebacker. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. But every time he does that, it's a risk. And if he does that, you know, 15, 20 times in a season, that's 15 or 20 hits against NFL caliber athletes that a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady is not taking in a season. And there's no way of sort of calculating what that does to your long-term durability as a quarterback. And I think that's the risk that the Buffalo Bills sort of have to play with, and the balance is finding out how much is too much and how much do we want to sort of keep that in reserve just for when we've got to have it over the course of the season.
Yeah. Bills fans are thanking you for the knock on wood also, because it's 5 years in a row, it's since his rookie year, since he's missed a game.
And I'm going back to PFF's, I think maybe it was a couple weeks ago or a month or so ago, when they came out with their best offensive lines this year, and the Bills ranked fifth. And I looked at it and said, I think the Bills' offensive line is pretty good. I don't know that I know that they're a top five unit in the league. Sam, how much does a guy like Josh Allen doesn't really, first of all, he doesn't take sacks. And I think the conversation we're talking about with him being a riskier player is right. I think he initiates most of the contact that he gets, though. Like, he's not a guy that takes unprompted hits in the pocket, blindside hits, where he doesn't necessarily control the contact. And I think that's what probably makes him unique. He doesn't take sacks. His offensive line's good. I don't know how great they are. And he probably makes them they probably makes them look very good, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things there. I kind of agree that I think Buffalo's offensive line is pretty solid. I wouldn't say that, like, if you showed me their line and said, where does this rank in the NFL? Without thinking about it, you wouldn't say top five. But when you start going through all the offensive lines in the NFL right now, there aren't any top five offensive lines. Like, the ones that we typically, I mean, Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia have had the best offensive line in the NFL for the last couple of years. But now they have a Hall of Fame center retires. They've got to make another change inside at guard. So two out of their five spots are question marks now for the first time in a few years. So a lot of these offensive lines that we sort of generally think of as being the top five offensive lines have taken steps backwards. And actually, it's one of the position groups where very quickly you get into, okay, this is a pretty good group, but it doesn't feel like it's amazing. Like, I think the general sort of talent level or levels of offensive lines in the NFL have just kind of dispersed a bit, which I think explains Buffalo's high ranking. I think you're right that Allen helps himself a lot by not taking a bunch of unnecessary hits in terms of as a passer. It's a very important point. That ability to avoid sacks, to avoid major contact in the passing game is huge. I think quarterbacks drive how much contact they take way more than people think. Before, like, Miami back in the 90s or the 80s even used to get credited for having, like, the best offensive line in football because Dan Marino just never took sacks. And Miami's offensive line was pretty good back then, but Dan Marino was maybe the best player ever at avoiding that contact that we're talking about. Like, it's a symbiotic thing. Dan Marino may have been the biggest driver of that ridiculous sack record that Miami had during those years. And Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at that right now. I don't know how much being the hammer rather than the nail matters when it comes to all those hits. I mean, ultimately, if you throw yourself into a brick wall, doesn't really matter if you're throwing yourself into it rather than being hit by the brick wall. You're still not coming out of it particularly well. So I don't know how much that matters a huge amount, but I do think you're right that the fact that he's really good at protecting himself from hits otherwise maybe offsets a lot of the ones he takes by, you know, running the ball.
Yeah. Also, I'm not Mr. Offensive Line tape study or anything. Detroit's the line, though, right? That's the one in the league that's, like, top-notch?
Yeah, right now I think Detroit are now the best line in football now that Philadelphia's got some question marks.
Gotcha. Another minute or two with Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. Sam, I'm seeing so much written about, tweeted about, talked about, especially here, just because no more Stephon Diggs. The sentiment of, oh no, it's a good thing when you don't have an elite number one receiver where you feel like you have to throw him the football. I feel like Green Bay's talking this way a lot. And they are almost shooting to this point of being like a blueprint for some people. And I like their receivers, but you tell me, like, what about that as an idea? Where is it better to not have one guy that all the focus is going to be around, where, you know, sometimes you might manufacture him touches, but also you know he's one of the better players, versus like a Green Bay model, at least for right now, which is more, on the surface, a bunch of guys that are pretty good, but not like one kingpin at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a hard and fast answer to that. I think there have been instances in the past where having a true superstar has become problematic. And the most obvious example I can think of is Detroit, back when Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford were at their peak. Like, there were, I don't think having Calvin Johnson sometimes made Matthew Stafford a better quarterback. Like, he defaulted into a position of, when in doubt, just heave it in the general direction of Calvin Johnson. And yeah, he'll make a bunch of those plays because he's Megatron, but you're not taking the smart option a lot of the times, right? And when you remove Calvin Johnson from that, you sort of force the quarterback to play the coverage more honestly and actually try and target the most open guy, even if that most open guy is not Megatron. So I think generally it can become a problem. It's going to depend what is the rest of the receiving core. Like, outside of your number one superstar, what does it look like? But, and generally, I don't think you need a number one guy, is where I would come down on it. Like, if you have, it's never a bad thing to have a, you know, Tyreek Hill or a Justin Jefferson or a Davante Adams or whatever. It's always good. They make receiving cores better. They make offenses better. You saw the impact that putting a guy like Ja'Marr Chase had on the Bengals as soon as he arrived. It can be completely transformative. Same thing with Tyreek Hill in Miami. But not having one of those guys doesn't mean you can't have an elite receiving core. I think you can kind of create it in the aggregate, like that old Moneyball meme. As long as you have all the skill sets ticked off, it doesn't necessarily matter if they're all there in one guy. If you've got a guy that can take the top off a defense, if you've got a guy that can work the middle of the field, move the chains underneath, if you've got a big physical body, like, as long as it's all there in the group, it doesn't necessarily have to all be there in one guy. I think you can piece together an offense that's really, really good with a bunch of different receivers, and having that skill set sort of spread out amongst the core, I think, can actually be kind of useful in not being able to just lock down on one guy and, you know, roll all the coverage in that direction and those kinds of things.
Yeah, and we'll let you go on this. And I know we've had you on a couple times since the end of the season, so I'm sure we've asked you a version of this, but how confident are you the Bills have that aggregate right now?
I think the aggregate is there. Actually, this is the one sort of area of that weird-looking receiving core that Buffalo has right now that I am pretty confident in. I think, like, the pieces are all there for them to have everything you want picked off. It's just, I'm not sure it is all in that one guy. And I worry a little bit that they're going to kind of shoehorn players into positions that they don't necessarily belong. Like, Keon Coleman is the obvious one for me. I liked Keon Coleman in the draft, irrationally so. Like, a lot of data points scare you from Keon Coleman. If you start looking at his draft profile and, you know, lack of separation, and there's a lot of red flags to his game relative to some other receivers. And the scariest thing of all was when Buffalo drafted him and sort of immediately said, yeah, he's going to slot in, it's just our X receiver. That's not what his profile says he should be. And, you know, maybe that's just what they say, and they'll sort of figure out a different way of using him, and it'll be more creative than that. But Coleman would worry me a little bit, the position, the sort of role that they seem to have planned for him. But, you know, a guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling can win vertically, can win on the outside against press coverage. They've got a ton of versatile slot options. There's speed, there's size, there's run after catch ability. Like, everything you want in a receiving core is there in this Buffalo group. It's just a case of seeing what it's going to look like from a deployment point of view.
Sam Monson on the Wester Hotline, ProFootballFocus.com, PFF.com. Latest, I think you had, Sam, right? 10 players under pressure in year two was the latest on the website. All right, good. Good to hear. By the way, just got back from Ireland a couple weeks ago, and I loved it. I think Cliffs of Kerry is the coolest place I've ever been in my entire life. I don't know if you've been to all of Ireland. I know you're from Ireland, but loved it.
There's some beautiful stuff. Like anything on the West Coast is ridiculous to look at.
It felt like another world. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate the time, and maybe we'll chat once the season gets rolling.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
Sam Monson on the Wester Hotline. We will get to some fantasy when we come back. Adam Krautwurst. And he'll be with both of us on Sunday for the Scott Fishbowl.
Can't wait.
Let's
go. Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go.
Cannot.
Nate has the number two pick in two drafts at the same time. That did not work out for you because that's going to happen the whole draft, isn't it?
All the whole time. Same draft order.
Oh, wait a minute. I should remember this. Is Fishbowl third round reversal?
Oh.
For your sake, you would want it to be third round reversal where the order flips in the third round, which means actually you wouldn't want that though,
no.
Because then you'd have the second to last pick in the third round instead of the second pick. But then you'd have time.
I would have time.
You would have time in between.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm anxious about it.
Is this your first big fantasy draft of the season?
Yes.
I've only had rookie drafts.
Same. I've only had rookie drafts as well.
So yeah. This will be my first like whole draft, unless you count like the underdog drafts, but that's like best ball stuff. Adam Krautwurst, when we come back, we'll talk some fantasy here on WGR.
Executives tell me he's got Keenan Allen and Mike Evans type of ability. Yeah. This is 6'4 punt returner, short area quickness. Yeah. People criticize him for running a 4.6. He ran over 20 miles per hour in the gauntlet at the combine. That's the best time over the last 2 years. Played football and basketball at Michigan State before going to the Noles. This is a freak athlete. He's going to make contested catches, and he often makes the spectacular look regular and ordinary. He's dynamic, and I think he's going to be an instant day one big time contributor to Josh Allen and the Buffalo offense. What?
Keon Coleman will be a very interesting player for fantasy this season. He is going at least from the last time I looked at ADP, which was maybe 2 days ago, so I'm assuming this hasn't changed drastically, as the top Bills receiver in drafts. We'll talk some fantasy here. Fantasy Friday, 9:30, we got to do it. Adam Krautwurst, now on the Wester Hotline. The Deep End, which of course he co-hosts with Mike Shope, full-time fantasy as well. What's up, Adam? Very excited to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
How are you, sir? I'm doing well.
From that clip, Coleman, Samuel, Shakir, all going within what, like two rounds of each other? Who are you targeting?
Yeah.
Or are you targeting none of them? That could, of course, be the answer here.
I know. Boy, you're cutting right to it here, huh?
Right at it. Right at it.
in best ball, I want pieces of all of them because we just don't know. But if I have to plant my flag on a guy, it's probably Curtis Samuel, especially based on ADP, because he's going kind of in the middle of them. Usually it's Keon Coleman, then Samuel, then Shakir. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of diving in a little bit more on Curtis Samuel and kind of watching some film and stuff like that. And he's been so good. He's from Ohio State. Like, he's got that pedigree. He's been hurt. He's been on teams that aren't as good at quarterback. So I'm hoping, reuniting with their offensive coordinator there, that they can get him involved more. But man, I get asked this question all the time, and I just don't know.
Yeah. Adam Krautwurst on the Wester Hotline. Lots of fantasy coming up here in this segment at @Adam_Krautwurst. He is also going to be a part of the Scott Fishbowl draft that we're going to have live on Sunday, which I'm very excited for. And the format, what's the quirkiest thing about the format this year? Is it that it's like all flex positions?
Yeah, it's tons of flex positions, and it's like tight end premium plus. So you get like a point and a half, I think, per catch, but you also get like extra points for first downs and stuff like that. So I've been looking at some boards. I did a Scott Fishbowl mock draft show a couple weeks ago, and the tight ends went off the board like crazy. It's obviously super flex too, so you can start quarterback at the flex position. So it's really fun because, you know, especially this time of year, drafts kind of get stale because there's no news, there's no injuries, thank God, yet, and stuff like that. So it's just it's kind of the same old, but with the Scott Fishbowl, man, it's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. And I think you're going to get with the different special teams in the NFL this year, you're going to get kick returns back. You're going to get punt returns back.
Yeah.
I think you're getting those receiving yards and those kickoff return yards from a lot of the receivers.
Yeah. Fishbowl, by the way, is going to be Sunday, 1 o'clock at the Fatty Beer up in North Tonawanda by the Wurlitzer building. And you can come by, watch the draft. You can shout names at us. I might listen depending on who it is, and maybe I'll take one of those guys myself. So yeah, 1 o'clock on Sunday, and fantasycares.org if you want to donate, Fantasy Cares toys for kids around Christmas time. So very good cause that, all the proceeds are going to. So, Fishbowl on Sunday. Who is the player that you are drafting the most of so far this year?
Man, there's a couple that I really, really like. And a guy that, it depends on like what kind of draft you're in, what positions and, sure, and the scoring and stuff like that. And a guy that I was really on last year that I'm back on again this year is Garrett Wilson. He's a guy that anytime I'm in the back half of the first round, I'm targeting him. For all the same reasons last year, I mean, the guy went for 1,000 yards with like the worst quarterback in the history of the NFL. So he's going to get Aaron Rodgers back. Hopefully he's healthy. Even if you get 80% of the Aaron Rodgers that we're used to, it's still going to be a great season for Garrett Wilson. So he's a guy that I've been just constantly clicking at the 1-2 turn. And another guy that I don't want to miss out on. I don't know how many games he's going to play. I don't know. But I know when he's out there, he's going to be sensational. And that's Devin Achane. He's a guy that I don't want to miss out on in the third round because he can break a slate every single week, and that's the guy that I want to have in my roster come fantasy playoff time.
Yeah, he is someone. I'm glad to hear you say that because I'm in one league that's like two keepers, and then the rest of it is redraft. And I had a decision to make between, and you can keep the guy as long as you want, no penalty. So just like if you want the guy forever, you can have him. So yep. It was Achane versus Kelce for me, and like rankings would have told me Kelce. But I was thinking long term a little bit with this as well. And man, when he played last year, I think the first time he had a big week, he wouldn't have been in anyone's lineup. But then I took a risk and put him in right after that. And almost every week he was healthy for. I mean, he won you the week. And that's rare, right, in fantasy where you get a guy that just can outright win you the week.
Yes.
But, like, I guess How are they treating him? They drafted a player around him. They brought back Mostert, but how confident are you? Like, is it boom or bust? And is the boom really the reason that you're finding your way to him while acknowledging that there is a downside to him? Or do you just see it as like, no, this is going to work?
I'm so confident. Like, when he plays, he's going to be awesome. His analytics, his metrics were all great. He was good, even good coming out of college. Like, he's a speed burner. And I trust Mike McDaniel. He knows what he's doing. He's proven. He gets that speed out there. If A-Chain's healthy, he's going to be awesome. I mean, Mostert, you know, last year he was 32. That was 33 something. Maybe he's 32 this year. I'm always willing to bet against a 32-year-old running back, always. Mm-hmm. And I really like this kid Wright that they've got too. And they've proven Miami that two running backs can smash every single week in that offense. So it's not even like he has to even win the job. We don't even necessarily want A-Chain getting 20 touches. We want, you know, 12 to 15 touches between carries and targets, and then let him just cook. So as long, whenever he's healthy, whenever he plays, I'm starting him with immense confidence, and I'm okay handcuffing him with Jalen Wright in the 13th round, because if A-Chain goes down, I think Wright's going to be fine. If Mostert goes down at 33 years old, Wright and A-Chain can both hit. So I'm super excited about that backfield.
Yeah, A-Chain against the Bills last year, by the way, for the Dolphins in the two games he played, 22 carries, 208 yards rushing, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So we got a chance to see him up close and personal. Bills fans did. So yeah, I'm very high on him this year as well. Adam Krautwurst on the Westher Hotline, talking some fantasy here on a Friday. What about some of the former Bills? Diggs, Gabe Davis, are these players that you're finding your way to? Starting with Diggs, because he is in such a crowded room there for receivers. Like, would you think he could finish anywhere from 1 to 3 on the pecking order there in Houston? Or do you think because of the investment, he's more likely to be higher?
I think it's going to be week to week with those guys. That's why they're tough outside of best ball. Like, I think Nico Collins is very talented, young, in his prime. You've got Diggs there, and you have Tank Dell, who's also great. I think it's going to be week to week, honestly, Joe. I think it's going to be like 1 week you're going to get two of them. The next week you'll get maybe a different two. But I do think Diggs will be the more consistent of the three, week in and week out. You know, part of me just wants, you know, you've got all the numbers, the projections, the analytics, all this stuff. But part of me is just like, you know what? He's Stephon Diggs. They went out and got him. Like, how silly is it that we're going to let him? I mean, right now he's going in the fourth round. Well, depending on what draft you are, but he's going around like wide receiver 24. Like, he could easily end up as a top 15, 13, 12, 10 receiver. You know what I mean? God forbid any injuries happen in that receiving core. And we're going to be like, man, how stupid. Like, why were we waiting so long to take Diggs? He's only 31, 30. In a good offense. Sometimes I just take him just because, you know what, it's Stephon Diggs and it's a good offense. But I do think it's going to be inconsistent lineup setting week to week because of Nico Collins and because of Tank Dell. So you just kind of cross your fingers and hope that it's Diggs week during your biggest weeks.
Yeah. And then what about Davis and Jacksonville? Is it kind of a little bit similar, a different type of player, but it's, you know, there's a bunch of names there also. So maybe best ball is a better format for him.
Yeah, I think Bessel is a better format for him. I think having him there, to me, props up the other receivers. I don't think Gabe Davis is that good. I think he made a lot of money because Josh Allen was his quarterback. He kind of was fading at the, I mean, he did have a lot of touchdowns for them, but I think that having him there has lowered the prices of Brian Thomas and Christian Kirk. I'm kind of off Gabe Davis this year. Again, it's best ball, so whatever, but in a lineup setting league, I'm kind of propping up Brian Thomas a little bit more, and I'm certainly propping up Kirk and Evan Ingram, who's probably, you know, the wide receiver one there. So I don't really have a lot of Gabe Davis. Again, I don't think Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback that Josh Allen is, so I think Gabe Davis could be like their fourth option there, and that's not what you want.
Fantasy season is upon us, July 12th, and we've got a draft coming up on Sunday, the Scott Fishbowl Fatty Beer in North Tonawanda next to the Wurlitzer building. Green Bay, I wanted to ask you about Green Bay with their receivers and the breakout candidates you could have there. It feels like I either get one or the other. Someone's drafting Christian Watson really high or someone's drafting Jaden Reed really high. Is that kind of how you find it happening, where someone... there's always someone that wants to bet on a Green Bay breakout at receiver?
Yeah, Jaden Reed's the one that's going higher now. I liked him coming out of college, too. I had him a ton last year, which was really nice. But now he's going in the seventh round, sixth round of these drafts. And you, again, it's like a Bills situation. You just don't know. I mean, they've got – so Christian Watson was hurt a ton last year, but when he plays, he's awesome. So you've got that there. You've got the tight end. You've got a couple of running backs who can catch the ball. So it's like, I just don't, you know, he's going as wide receiver 38, 36, somewhere in there, Jaden Reed. So it's not terrible, but he's going around guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Chris Godwin, even Ladd McConkey, who hasn't proven himself at all. Ladd McConkey can see twice the targets that Jaden Reed does. You know, he's going around Terry McLaurin. It's like, I don't know. I'd rather have those guys than a kind of a dart throw on Jaden Reed, where you could certainly see him falling off. A lot of his fantasy production came last year on touchdowns. His touchdown rate was astronomical, which is great to know that he can score touchdowns, but it's very hard to predict year to year.
Yeah. And then finally, Adam, for you, like, what's the right strategy, you think, this year to build a roster positionally? Like, running back, I kind of got into the hero running back strategy, where you pick one running back high and then you wait a long time for the rest of it. Is there a strategy that kind of sticks out to you that you would advise people is a decent idea for this summer?
I love the hero RB strategy. That's the one that I'm most comfortable with, taking a stud running back in the first round and then loading up on receivers, tight end, quarterback, and then coming back to it later on. I think that's a comfortable – but again, sometimes, unless it's an auction league, you don't really have the choice sometimes. If you pick – like, you know how many times I've picked eighth – and, you know, the top three running backs are gone, and it's like, do I want to reach on Gibbs? Because I do love Gibbs, but I think he is a step down from McCaffrey, Bijan, and Breece Hall. So it's like, do I want to pass on my guy Garrett Wilson or Amon Ra or something for that? So you can't always pull it off, but that's the one I'm most comfortable with, going that route, and then waiting, kind of skipping through the RB dead zone there in the middle of the draft, and then coming back and getting later guys like a Devin Singletary, Jonathan Brooks, you know, guys like that as your RB2, and then load up on them later. Take a bunch of them. A hero RB, zero RB guy that I really love this year is Blake Corum, that you can get him in like the 10th or 11th round. He could be this year's Kyren Williams. I think he's better than Kyren Williams, and he I don't think I'll outplay him, but it's a situation where the Rams stick with one running back, and Kyren's undersized. He missed 5 games last year. I don't see him playing 17 games. So when Corum does get that opportunity, he's going to get the full workload because they don't rotate their backs. And maybe he takes it and doesn't look back. You can get him in the 10th round. And if he hits like Kyren did last year, that's a moneymaker.
Yeah, it's hard to do, but even hearing you talk, like, I'm having a reaction because I have Kyren Williams dynasty shares where I'm like, oh, I don't want that to happen. But really, the smart thing then to do would be to be drafting Blake Corum this summer so that I'm not stuck in one position basically for all my
leagues. Absolutely. And you didn't spend big money on Kyren last year. You got him for free, which is a great savvy move. Now, you know, now you're not really relying on him, and going to get Corum would be really cool.
Absolutely. Adam Krautwurst at Adam_Krautwurst on Twitter, full-time fantasy, and of course the Deep End podcast with Mike Schoep. See you on Sunday, Adam. Can't wait.
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
All right. Fishbowl on Sunday and 1 o'clock. If you want to stop by, Fatty Beer, if you're looking for something to do, stop by, watch us draft, shout some names. And if someone does that and comes and shouts a name and it's somewhat reasonable, then maybe I'll commit to picking it. Time out here. When we come back, we have Pick of the Week and Extendo Sports, as we'll get you off to the Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Time for the Pick of the Week. Pick of the Week from Riverfront is a 2015 Cadillac CTS sedan. It's a Caddy. So not much more you need to know, except this one has low miles. Check it out, riverfrontautosales.com, or call my friends Marty Sr. and Marty Jr. at 886-1626. The Euro final on Sunday, 3 o'clock, Spain and England is absolutely my pick of the week. The Euro final, England has not won a major tournament since 1966 when they won the World Cup. They've never won the Euro. They are always full of expectation. They are always full of heartbreak. And I will be rooting for their demise once again because it will be funny. That's it. It'll be very funny to watch all the England fans be heartbroken again. They're Leafs fans for me. They at least make it to the finals, I guess. This is the second time in a row they've made it to the Euro finals. But they're like the Leafs. They think they should win every tournament. They probably have the most, the largest fan base, at least by passion. And they always get let down. England, Spain, Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm going to get some golf in today. Speaking of golf, congratulations to Tom K. from Orchard Park for winning our Friday foursome at Lockport Town and Country Club, a $25 Encore gift card, plus a box of Encore golf balls, and a membership to Club Encore. Still more chances for you to win the Friday foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter. Brought to you by Labatt and Encore Golf. I'm going to get some golf in today. The sun is out. Weather's nice. Might be a little wet on the ground. So hope you're able to do the same this weekend. Scottish Open's happening right now, by the way. I've got it on in here. I cannot wait for the Open Championship next week. Rory McIlroy. We'll have Brian Koziel on next week. We'll talk some golf and Rory's tournament. I mean, I think this is one of the most highly anticipated majors for a specific player. Non-Tiger division, like, that I can remember. It's all of it. It's the 10-year, or it's more than that, right? Well, it's 10-year. 10-year major drought by an elite top player like Rory McIlroy on the heels of the biggest choke job we've seen in golf in recent memory. Leading up to his tournament, right? Like, he's from the United Kingdom. He's from Northern Ireland. Like, the Open Championship, like, that should be Rory's. Hasn't won in 10 years. Overseas, morning golf, after the choke job. Oh, I can't wait for next weekend. We'll talk a little about that next week. Final week before training camp. Talk to you then. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show is on the way next. Have a good weekend.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Off to the Extra Point Show, coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Time for the pick of the week. Pick of the week from Riverfront is a 2015 Cadillac CTS sedan. It's a caddy. So not much more you need to know, except this one has low miles. Check it out, riverfrontautosales.com, or call my friends Marty Sr. and Marty Jr. at 886-1626. The Euro final on Sunday, 3 o'clock, Spain and England is absolutely my pick of the week. The Euro final, England has not won a major tournament since 1966 when they won the World Cup. They've never won the Euro. They are always full of expectation. They are always full of heartbreak, and I will be rooting for their demise once again because it will be funny. That's it. It'll be very funny to watch all the England fans be heartbroken again. They are Leafs fans for me. They at least make it to the finals, I guess. This is the second time in a row they've made it to the Euro finals. But they're like the Leafs. They think they should win every tournament. They probably have the largest fan base. At least by passion. And they always get let down. England, Spain, Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm going to get some golf in today. Speaking of golf, congratulations to Tom K. from Orchard Park for winning our Friday foursome at Lockport Town and Country Club, a $25 Encore gift card, plus a box of Encore golf balls, and a membership to Club Encore. Still more chances for you to win the Friday foursome. Head over to WGR550.com to enter. Brought to you by Labatt and Encore Golf. I'm going to get some golf in today. The sun is out. Weather's nice. Might be a little wet on the ground. So hope you're able to do the same this weekend. Scottish Open's happening right now, by the way. I've got it on in here. I cannot wait for the Open Championship next week. Rory McIlroy. We'll have Brian Koziel on next week. We'll talk some golf and Rory's tournament. I mean, I think this is one of the most highly anticipated majors for a specific player. Non-Tiger division, like, that I can remember. It's all of it. It's the 10-year, or it's more than that, right? Well, it's 10-year. 10-year major drought by an elite top player like Rory McIlroy on the heels of the biggest choke job we've seen in golf in recent memory. Leading up to his tournament, right? Like, he's from the United Kingdom. He's from Northern Ireland. Like, the Open Championship, like, that should be Rory's. Hasn't won in 10 years. Overseas, morning golf, after the choke job. Oh, I can't wait for next weekend. We'll talk a little about that next week. Final week before training camp. Talk to you then. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show is on the way next. Have a good weekend.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.